Really, really great. Listen, if you're here for your first time today, we have lots of new friends with us. We love this part because, you know, right, you get welcomed and we all say hi and hug and all that. But I want you to know that you don't get to leave here just as friends, that you get to leave here today as family. You're not a guest. You are friends and you are family forever. So we're just so thankful to be able to welcome you today. And if you would just wave, because our greeter ushers have a gift for you. So please receive this gift. This is actually a book that Ron has written. And I'm telling you, it is changing lives. And so thank you, Ron, for sewing your book into each one of our friends here today, too. Right over here, there's several people in this area. And with that, let me just say, July is chill out. Doesn't that sound exciting right there? Just chill out. Because the only thing that you're going to be running to is Sunday mornings and Monday nights. Because Monday night is our prayer. And there is a new place. And I'm just calling it Heaven's Portal. Because they're no longer portables. They are very established. They're not moving anymore. So these are Heaven's Portals back here. And those of you that are new, you have to take a walk back. We just officially, do you have it? Did you print it? Our CO. Ah, we officially got our certificate of occupancy. Yay, Jesus. Woo, woo. 5 years in the making. But they are established. So on Monday nights now, we're meeting out because the prayer group is enlarged. So we are meeting out in Heaven's Portal, to the one to the left. And we just welcome you. It's such an amazing time that we come together and seek God's word for what he's saying and releasing into the body. And then the other thing is, of course, Sunday morning. So that's the only thing going on in July. Everybody go, ah, it's wonderful. I lied. I just thought of one. July 25th. It's a Thursday night, and we're calling it Curiosity Night because there's, look, it says, I can't read it. Blessed are the curious, for they shall have adventures. We just talked about that last week, adventures. And I'm telling you, GCSSM is that adventure that takes you to places and positions and, what would you say, Dan? Some other descriptives. Beyond what you ever dreamed or hoped or asked or anything. And so we're having a curiosity night on July 25th at 6:30. Everybody's welcome. And this is to kick off our new year that starts August 22nd. So mark your calendars. The only thing going on in July, July 25th. Amen. I think that's about it. So thank you once again. Make yourselves at home. Today's probably one of the few days you can even have a cup of coffee in here with you, and we'll have lots of food. We love you, and thank you, Alan. Thank you, team. Thank you. It's just really good to be together. So if I could introduce my hubby, he's so good and gracious when I'm going to speak and he introduces me, but I've never done this, I don't think, to you. So I want to introduce, look, you know we're having a short message when.
Y'all hungry?
This is the love of my life, no doubt, forever and ever. And I am so thankful that, one, I do laugh at his jokes, even though I've heard him.
That's love. But 800 times and she still laughs.
But the thing about it is, what I love is that it may be the same joke, but I love that he tells them because he loves to see, you know, cheerful hearts. He loves to make people laugh when they've, you know, been through a grueling day, like at the register at Publix or something, you know? He just loves to bring a little humor to everybody. And it so blesses me that I can't help but laugh because they're laughing. And it's like, that's exactly what he hoped to see. And so I just love that part about you, that you open that up to us every week.
With I go shopping. We don't even need food. I just need an audience, you know?
Anyways, we know that you've got probably more to bring today on the glory of God. And we just invite, through your words, Ron, and through what you have already studied to bring us, that it is the manifestation of God's glory. That I just say right now, settle, Lord, settle into each of our hearts. Just as we said, you have prepared a table in the midst of our enemies. You have set your glory in each of us. And so it's from this place now that we get to join and partner with you in the manifestation of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.
Praise
you
God.
Give my hubby a nice honoring welcome this morning.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I would. I just want to give some thanks. First off, Gary Kistler is out grilling your food right now. And Gary, it's not just he shows up and cooks. He has to run around and get the grill. He has to borrow it from somebody and drive it here and get the charcoal going. And so anyways, I just really appreciate Gary for stepping up to the plate and cooking. And I just want to encourage you to give him a thanks from you as well. Yesterday, we ran into a little bit of a situation with the modular. I'm sorry, Friday, we ran into a little situation with the modulars. The one closest to the parking lot, the AC was not working. And so I had my next door neighbor is an air conditioning guy, and he loves to bless the church here. But he came out and said, "I got bad news for you." He said the compressor is bad. And that's, if you've ever had it replaced, it's like the most expensive part. And you know, we talked about, was it better to buy a new air conditioner or get the compressor? I don't normally have my phone on speaker, but I happened to because I was here working with Tommy on the trim on the front doors, and Tommy overheard it, and he said, "You know, I've got a compressor in my garage." And so I put him on the phone with my AC guy, and long story short, he had a brand new, still in the box compressor that was the exact compressor for this one. And but he wanted to charge me too much for it, so I went ahead with the other. No. He donated it, and so thank you, Tommy. You're such an amazing man, a blessing to this church. For sure. But do you see how God orchestrates things? I mean, I never put, when I'm talking to a contractor, I never put my phone on speaker. Unfortunately, contractors don't always use the best language, and I don't want to broadcast them. So that's one thing. But secondly, for Tommy to have the exact, just incredible. So God's amazing. Since we're on a roll, on the trim, this is a little thing, but you know, God's in the little things. I told you, after the first of the year, look for things, faith things, Bible things, that's your relationships, that's your joy, that's your peace, all these things that heaven provides, look for them to come easier. I really believe we've crossed a threshold where the anointing of God and his presence is stronger for those that will pursue it. So anyways, little things come out of that. I ordered the door trim from Amazon, and the side pieces came in, but the top piece was on back order. It came in 2 weeks later, and I was pretty sure, because all I did was measure the opening of the door, but if you'll notice, it flares out at the top, and we have two lights up there, and we were going to replace the lights, so I didn't know what the dimensions were. We got it in, and I told Tommy, so we're going to have to move these lights, and we even took them out and took them apart and so on. Anyways, I got to looking after we put the trim up. I said, maybe it'll fit. So we put the piece of trim up. We put the lights on. Now, the lights come up against that piece of trim. If you go out and look up, you'll see it's touching the lights on both sides. If it were 1/4 inch longer, the lights would have to be crooked to make it fit. But I'm telling you, it was like it was custom ordered. And I know that you're like, well, that sure gives glory to God. Well, I think it does. I think you know, little things like that that could have been, it would have been a big job to move those lights, to move the concrete and the wiring and everything else. So, anyways, that's my message for today. Let's eat. No. One of the things I want to do is try and redeem myself from the cat comment that I made a couple of weeks ago. for those of you who weren't here, I said I love cats. They taste like chicken. And I got a whole bunch of emails and texts and hate mail and, you know, dead cats in my yard and crosses burnt. No, none of that. But so today I'm going to redeem myself. A German Shepherd, a Black Labrador Retriever, and a cat died and went to heaven. And they appeared before the throne of God for him to pass judgment onto where they would spend eternity. So he asked the lab, he said, how did your time on earth, what did you do? And the Black Lab said, well, I was trained to be a seeing eye dog. And so I worked with my master. I saved him from many perils. But alas, I was killed when I was hit by a taxi, saving my master from that peril. And God said, well, very good. He said, come on in. I want you to sit on my right. And he turned to the German Shepherd and he said, how did your time on earth go? What did you do? The German Shepherd said, well, I was trained as a police dog and I did a lot of good things, but unfortunately there was a bank robbery and in the process of saving the police, I was shot and killed and that's how I got here. And God said, well, very good, come in. I want you to sit on my left. And God turned to the cat and started to say, and what did you do on, and he didn't get the words out, and the cat looked at him and said, I think you're in my chair. I'll just, and I'll get with you ladies, I've got the Baptist dog joke that Donna said you wanted to hear, so I'll tell you that one later on. I wanted to report that, you know, God is he's really on the move around the earth. And I do believe that this is God's chosen nation. Now, I say that hesitantly because we know that Israel is his chosen nation. But can I tell you, any nation that will lift him up, he said he will draw all men unto him. So we can be the chosen nation, but if we choose not to, there will be another nation that will be. And right now, what I'm seeing is the nation of Brazil is just breaking forth in revival. Where are our Brazilian friends here? Roger, where did Paulo go? He's gone? They're about, well, they're having their own revival out there. Anyways, here comes revival himself, Mr. Paulo. Yes, they have, they just had their March for Jesus. They had 3 million people turn out for their March for Jesus. And I mean, just amazing what is happening there. And so I think what happens is when God pours himself into a nation, that nation goes up as a light before the nations. And, you know, he said he's given us the nations as our inheritance. And so it's not just this nation. So I'd like to take a minute. Let's just pray that that God would fan the flames of revival in Brazil. And we're also thankful that God has brought Brazilians our way to bring the same revival right here in this church. So, Father, we just lift up to you the nation of Brazil. We thank you for, Lord, the hunger that's there that attracts your attention. And, God, we pray you would pour yourself out, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for signs and wonders and miracles and demonstrations of power and that you would be lifted up high, God, to be a bright spot for every nation on the earth to see. We believe for transformation for Brazil, that they would rise up, God, and just be mighty in you. And we thank you, God. Fan the flames, we pray. Let Brazil just burn hot, white hot for you as an example, Lord, to all of the earth. And we thank you for it. And Father, we thank you for the Brazilian folks that you are bringing our way. Lord, I just so love their passion and their hearts and their fire. So, Lord, bless them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Today is also, I think it's really neat, it's Call to Fall Day. It's where we're to fall on our knees and pray for our nation. And so we're going to do that in just a minute, but I want to show you a little brief video, and we're going to look at that, and then we're going to pray for our nation as well. Oh. Unfortunately, it was filmed at night, so use your imagination. I don't know about you, but I'm sure stirred. I think that just revival's about to break out. Let me know, Wendy, if you can get that working. It's not Wendy's fault. It's the equipment's fault. And so you ready? See if it'll go this time. That's better. Would you all stand as we do our play? No. Well, I'll go ahead and start. If you, I'm hearing something. Okay, that's all right. That's okay. It was really a great video. I wish you could see it, but we'll do it another time. But we're responsible to be God's hands and feet in the earth. We are his anointing in the earth. He comes, but he's come to us. The kingdom of God is resident on the inside of us. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is on the inside, but sometimes he's being held prisoner and he wants out. And the way he comes out is when we will demonstrate him to the world. So he said, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, he will forgive our sin, and he will heal our land. That's his promise. That's the word of God. So can we take a few minutes and let's pray for our country. We have never had so much division. Go ahead, Wendy, if you have it. We have never had so much division, and we're the answer. We're carrying the answer. We can't sit and complain about it. It's not a Democrat problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's the body of Christ. And under our watch, we can't sit and watch this stuff go on and not pray and not demonstrate. So we're believing for that. So let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for this great nation founded on your word, founded by great men of God. Lord, it was discovered by people that were not had the ability to worship you like they wanted to in their own land. And they came here to establish this land where they could freely worship you. God, thank you that today we can still freely worship you. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. Thank you for the men and women that died so we could enjoy that freedom. We celebrate this country. And Lord, we are a Christian nation founded on you, looking to you, looking unto these hills whence cometh our help. We know that it's you, God. And so, Father, we will not be silent. We'll not sit down. I don't care what any court in the land has to say. I don't care what any politician has to say. You are the only answer, and we will not settle for anything else. So I thank you, Jesus. I don't care about the donkey. I don't care about the elephant. I just care about the lamb. Let the lamb come forth as our answer. And so we just celebrate it, God. Lord, I pray that true freedom, when Jesus sets us free, we're free indeed. I thank you that true freedom rings across our land this 4th of July, and that your truths will be perpetuated. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing, the freedom in each person here as we learn more about your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Here we go. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as Donna said, July is kind of like vacation month, and so that's when Donna and I go on vacation. We're going to Colorado again this year. We love going to Colorado. Our favorite thing is just to get a four-wheel drive and head off-road. And just to let you know that when we go away, our faith gets built up like you can't even imagine. For example, one of our favorite things, we have a book of all the four-wheel drive trails of Colorado. And we'll find different trails to go on. So we picked this one day, and it was a four-wheel drive, but it was a Dodge Durango. That's a full-size vehicle. And so we headed off. We're going to go up to the Continental Divide at 14,125 feet. And so we're heading up, but as we were going up the side of the mountain, the trail got narrower and narrower and narrower until Donna is watching out the driver's window because we're almost scraping the rocks on the right side of the mountain going up, and I have my head out the window because our tires are sending gravel over the, and it's like 1,000 feet or more down, and we're inching up this, and I mean, it took forever, and I looked like a half a mile ahead, and I could see there was some people up there. It was like a ledge you could pull out, and I thought, man, if we can just get up there, you know, maybe we can call a helicopter for rescue or something. And so we're inching up there. It took us hours. We finally pull off that thing. We're both covered with sweat and so on. We get out, and there's three or four all-terrain vehicles up there, and they have crash helmets and gloves and stuff on. And they're like, what in the bleep are you doing up here with that? And it was an ATV trail. It was not designed, ever designed for full-size vehicles. So our faith increases greatly while we're out there. You know, how'd we get down? We had an option. We knew we couldn't back down from when we were getting stuck. We thought if we got up there, we could turn around and come down. But thankfully, from there up to the top of the mountain, then over, it got a little bit better. We were on the narrowest part right there, so we did continue on. And I could recount, we've had more adventures than you can shake a stick at. But it's proof God exists. We're still here. We're a testimony. Testing. Well, I do have just a short word for you, but I really believe it's a powerful word, and I want you to look at this as just like a doorway that we're going to be passing through, because we've been talking about the glory, discovering that the glory is more than just his presence. It's his manifest presence. They're the things that come out of being with him. There's things that should happen. There's the way he manifests himself in us and through us. Remember, he doesn't cause you to be blessed for you. You're blessed to be a blessing to others. It's his glory coming through you. And so that's what we've been pursuing. But I just want to take a couple of minutes. Some of you have heard this. Please bear with me for just a minute as I go back, because I want you to see this again. It's really good to discover what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's when the glory was stolen. It wasn't his faith. It wasn't his love. It was the glory was taken. We know that because when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, then Satan said, all this authority and their glory I will give you. Jesus didn't refute the claim. It was taken in the garden. It was there. When Jesus came back to earth, it was to restore glory in the earth. The train's leaving. Anybody? The glory train is arriving. Hallelujah. Hi, Dr. Dale. It's so good to see you. Hey, did you see you have friends here? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Amen. I mean, none of us are your friends, so we thought it would be convenient. No. These are beyond your regular friends, so. I don't know where this message is going today, but. The number one mark, if we want to really pursue being a 325 Alive church, and what that means is the church that Jesus came to establish, that he imparted into their apostles to carry forth, that was alive for 325 years until Constantine came and just really messed things up. If we want that church, powerful, mighty, dynamic moves of God, where entire cities and regions, just in a matter of months, would be won to the Lord, where the people were, they would have home meetings and people fall out the windows. I mean, where it was just crazy, good chaos, heavenly pandemonium. If we want to be that church again, the number one mark of the 325 Alive Church is the glory of God rests upon them. And that's what we're looking for. I want to come after the glory. The scripture says in Habakkuk, it says, for what is going to cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea? The knowledge of the glory. That's right. He desires us to know what it is he's trying to get to us. Why? So that we can walk in it. If we don't know it, we can't walk in it. And honestly, we've heard very few messages about the glory and what it truly is. I love Joyce Meyer's teaching about the battlefield of the mind. This is where the battle happens. But the spoils, what the battle is being fought over, is the glory of God. And so we know that he created man, and he clothed us with glory. And so he's trying to get it to us. When Jesus, when Adam gave it up, then Jesus, the second Adam, came to bring it back. And when he arrived, it says, we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Son. And it was, he brought the glory back into the earth. He's trying to get the glory back to us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of what? You see, this is heaven's assignment to get glory. It's a partnership of God in you and with you so that he can, the expansion of his government on the earth is to be without end. In order to do that, we have to partner with him in his government on the earth. And if we don't have his manifested presence, then we're not going to make it. So we've got to have this. It's real. It's what all of heaven is trying to get to us. It's what all of hell is fighting us over. Hell doesn't want you to walk with God and be powerful and be dynamic. So I'm looking for a glory knowledge invasion. Because if you know it, you can have it. If you don't know it, you can't have it. So that's what we're looking for. Now, in this pursuit of glory, there are allies to the glory, and there's adversaries to the glory. Here's the problem. If we don't understand how dynamic those are, we unwittingly and even unknowingly, we can partner with hell against the glory. And unfortunately, we're seeing that happen a lot. I'm not going to get to it this week, but next week, one of the doors that we walk through and don't know it is offense. It's probably the number one unwitting partnership with hell against glory that we do that I've ever seen in the body of Christ. Let me say that again. Offense. Offense. The Bible says that a man offended is harder to win than a high-walled city. It's once you get to that point, if you're so deep in the jaws of Satan that it's hard to get you back. So offense is a number. Anyways, that's next week's message. Don't get me going on that now. I want to talk to you this morning about Harry Houdini.
Yeah, come on.
Harry Houdini, everybody knows, was the master of escape. And in his career, he made the claim that he could escape from any jail in the world within 60 minutes if he entered with wearing nothing but his street clothes. Well, a jail here in the South somewhere, the sheriff heard about it and decided to take him up on his challenge. And so they had Houdini come, the crowds gathered, and Houdini went into the jail cell wearing nothing but his clothes, and they slid the door shut, the jailer left, and there was Houdini in the jail cell. Well, unbeknownst to anybody, in his belt, he had a 10-inch piece of metal. It was very, very rigid metal, but it was able to be hidden in his belt. He took that piece of metal and immediately began working on the lock of the jail cell. He worked on the lock of that jail cell for 30 minutes and sweats breaking out and so on, and he couldn't get the lock undone. And he worked on it for another 30 minutes, And at the end of an hour, he still hadn't had it undone. And the confidence had totally ran away from his face. And now he was beginning to panic. At an hour and a half of working on that, he was sweating. He was desperate. And every move was an act of desperation. At 2 hours, he literally passed out on the floor and couldn't do any more. He was just spent. But when he laid on the floor, he laid up against the jail cell, and it slid just a little bit. And he stood up, and the jail cell opened wide. The jail cell had been shut but never locked. Or was it? You know where it was locked? To him, it was just as locked as the most diligent locksmith in the world had built an impenetrable lock. It was that locked inside of him. And I want to tell you that today, we have the glory of God available to us, but we walk around locked in our minds, not really knowing what's accessible, not really knowing that the promises are ours, not really knowing. And we have an open jail cell, but the enemy roams about like a lion seeking whom he can convince. No, you're in prison. No, there's no way out. You can't make it past this. You are stuck here where you are forever. You are sick. You are depressed. You have family lineages that go on, and you can't do anything about it. It's just who you are. It's how it is. What do we say? It is what it is. What a lie from the pits of hell. Now, if you hear Donna and I chuckle, because we have that now kind of as an inside joke, and, you know, it's funny. We'll get around people, and they say, well, you know, it is what it is. And we're like, No, it is not what it is. So here's a truth. Satan can't devour anybody without your permission. He has no power. All power and authority was given to Christ, and then Christ turned it over to the church. You know, I don't mind the rubber shoes coming at me so much like this. That's those big leather ones, you know, and some of you wear boots and they scare me. Okay, for those of you who wonder what in the ham sandwich is this about, in the Word of God, and I'll give you the scriptures afterwards, but it talks about, there's a scripture that says in ancient times, in Israel, when somebody wanted to buy a piece of property, they would leave their shoe as point of purchase. It was the proof that they'd made the purchase. And what we do here is if you hear a truth that you want to prove that you have purchased, you're laying hold of that. That's your promise, and you're going home with it. We say, you know what? Do something unusual. Bring a shoe up and just leave it as proof that you're taking that promise home. So it is a little weird, but that's okay. We're a little weird too. We do things like using props. We're using a rat today. I'll tell you why in just a second. But, Satan roams around like a lion, seeing whom he can devour. Rat stands for real as truth. Real as truth. If he can make you believe the lie and make you believe it's as real as the truth, then he can trap you into things that you didn't intend. He's a rat, and he's come to steal who you are and what you have. What are some of the, I wish we could just come go around the room and lay lives bare and see what lies we have bought. Where have we bought into the lie? You're not good enough. God knows what you did, looked at, saw. He'll never love you. He'll never anoint you. He can't use you. There's so many lies being perpetuated in the body of Christ, and they're totally not of God. They're totally, actually, they're opposite of what the truth is. And so think about it for you. What is it that God's word says you have or you are that you currently aren't and don't have? Wherever that is, it's a lie. It's a lie. When he says that no weapon formed against you can prosper, that's a truth. But if you're living in a situation where it seems like hell is prospering more, then you're living a lie. He says, whatever you put your hands to will prosper. Come on. Healing, bills, spouses, relations, whatever it is, I believe for prosperity to come out of when I lay hands on people or things, there should be some change. So if the lie, if the rat, the real as truth, if it ran in your family line, if God says you've been anointed to break the cycle, in other words, it ran into you. It ran in your family line until it ran into you. And then now you have permission from God and you have anointing from God to let it stop with you. It doesn't need to be perpetuated into your kids or your kids' kids. But you've got to choose. See, it's really up to you. It's there, but you have to choose. It ran through your mind until it ran into his mind. You've been anointed to think like him. The mind field where the battle's fought. But I want you to know your mind field can become green pastures with his promises. No longer do you have to be drawn into anxiety and depression and anger and fits and all these different things. Fits are okay as long as it's a benefit. Make sure if it's a fit, it's a benefit. But again, you've got to choose. It's really up to you. It ran surveying stakes into your heart, claiming territory, claiming ground. But he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So he might try to claim territory, but you can get free in the Lord. It's in him. It's in him we live and move and have our being. We are slaves to sin until Jesus came to set us free. And when we walk in the sin, can I tell you that walking, not walking in the promises of God is a sin. If you know to do good and don't do it, to you, it is sin. We have an obligation because we have been redeemed out of the pit of hell. We have an obligation to walk in the promises. It's not just there that you can pick up and do it if you want, and if you don't, no problem. No. Listen. He tells us that we can walk without the truth and not know him. Okay, I'll leave that one alone. That one gets scary. So let's look at the rat trap. Pull up that rat trap for just a second. There's a couple of things about a rat trap. Number one, we have a rat trap to trap rats. But can I tell you that the rat has a trap to trap you? The word trap in the Bible is called scandalon. Scandalon. And it's where we get the word scandal or scandalous or scandalize. And so he wants to scandalize us. Somebody. Somebody's going to get scandalized. Either he's going to scandalize you or you're going to scandalize him, but somebody is going to get scandalized. Maybe it's not right in this moment. Maybe it won't happen until we get caught up to glory in the air. But at that point, somebody is going to get scandalized. If you bought into a lie, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we know even as we're known? Think about that. We're going to know everything like God does. And we're going to look back at our lives and think, man, if I'd only known. Well, I'm telling you, you can know. You can know. You can have the mind of Christ. You can walk in it. So picture the mousetrap. A couple of things the mousetrap has is, number one, it's hidden or it's disguised. In other words, a rat looks at that and it doesn't look scary to the rat. Now, there's a Proverbs 1:17 that says, a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. And so you can't just put a trap, even for the enemy, and make it so obvious that he won't step in it. I believe when we partner with God, that Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Nisi also becomes Jehovah Sneaky. And he can set ambushments against your enemy as you partner with him. So the mousetrap, it doesn't look dangerous, but it is. And secondly, the trap must be baited. It's not so much the trap, well, it is ultimately, but you've got to be baited or Satan's got to be baited. What would Satan use to bait us with? This is a real question. What? Offense? Certainly offense. We already said. What else? Fear. The lust of the eye. Lust of the flesh. There you go. Anybody else? I mean, it's a smorgasbord that the enemy puts out there. So, you know, there's no end to it. Anybody else? Sickness. Deceit. Condemnation. Yeah. Listen, we could build a negative list all day long. These are the things that the enemy puts out there to build, to put survey stakes in your heart, to capture you and to hold you captive. What are some things that we can do to trap the enemy? Praise. Love. Let me read a scripture to you that I think will wrap all these up into one thing, and it's, you need to know this. Again, I'm not going to reteach, but remember, we're talking about the glory. We're talking about allies to the glory. We're talking about adversaries. The adversary is all the things that you just named, the things he can put in his trap to bait you. But here is the ally scripture. I think this is where we partner with heaven to defeat the enemy. This comes from 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, bringing every thought into what? Captivity. Spring. You just killed the rat. It was when those thoughts come in, you take them captive. And they have to come into obedience, the obedience of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. One of those knowledges is knowing the glory of God. We can't be deceived any longer. Every day you get up, you make decisions. Anybody tell me what the most powerful force on the planet is? Think about in the natural, lightning. Do you know lightning? Lightning is only about as big around as maybe a salt shaker. But it burns 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun. It's a mighty force. I mean, it just blows trees up like they're toothpicks. Or think about a waterfall. And I'm thinking, you know, there's some powerful things on the earth. Do you know what the most powerful thing on the earth is, though? Your tongue. Tongue, that's a good one. That's close, but no cigar. Love, that's a good one. Mind, kind of, indirectly, it's choice. You have the power to choose. You get to choose heaven or hell by choosing Jesus or not. The most powerful, dynamic thing on the earth is choice. Now, listen to this carefully, because every morning when you get up until the time you go to bed, you're making choices. I've told you before, God is not in control of your life. I don't care how saved you are. God is not in control of your life. That's what we have been handed as a lie, because it takes stewardship clear off the table. Your decisions put you up under different laws of God, and those laws of God determine your outcome. Your decisions are in charge of your life. Listen, gravity works. Whether I believe it or not, if I make the choice to step forward, I'm making the choice to go down. Do you see that? So you make a choice. It puts you up under a law of God, and automatically that law takes over in your life. And it can be godly laws. It can be ungodly laws. You can partner with the adversary, or you can partner with the ally. Glory is yours, but you have to choose every day, every situation, every word, every thought. You have to walk purposely in the glory. So we can want the glory. We can sing about the glory. We can pray for the glory. We can have glory revivals and meetings and glory worship services. And we can post glory signs all over the walls. And we can rename the church Glory. But if we're not choosing moment by moment the glory of God, then we'll miss it. We'll miss the very thing heaven is trying to get to us. And so I want to leave you with that, because from starting next week, I'm going to take you to very specific doorways that we have to steward and manage well. Doors that are adversaries, doors that are allies, because I so am desperate, more than I can ever tell you. I have never been so excited about a word, a revelation from heaven, as I am about the glory. And I want you to walk through every doorway correctly. You face doorways every day, and we have been mismanaging those doorways. We have been missing the fullness of the glory of God. But it's time. Can I tell you it's time? I don't know if I failed to mention, but it's time. It's time for us to step up to the plate and have the fullness of the glory of God, the manifested presence. I'm talking about when you walk into Walmart and there's somebody in a wheelchair. Now, listen, it doesn't mean everybody in a wheelchair that you go up to. I know I'm going to get into another teaching now. We have to listen to his voice. We have to be led of the Spirit. And otherwise, you know, we can actually do more harm than good. Sons and daughters of God, the Bible says, are those that hear his voice. But I think what we've done and why we're missing the glory is we come to church, ears wide open. And then the whole rest of the week, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, I'm not looking for the glory in here. I am. I just lied. Forgive me, God. I'm looking for the glory here. But I'm not looking for the glory just here. Actually, this meeting, do you know we're having a pagan meeting right now? This meeting, it looks more like the meetings that Constantine set up for the pagans than it did for the original 325 Alive Church. Tell you why. Because the 325 Alive Church, the meetings they had, they were glory meetings. They would come and talk and give testimony of the glories of God that happened that week. They would come and they would have a tongue. They would edify each other. It was just it was pandemonium. It was not listen to some big guy with a big mouth in the front with a microphone. It was everybody came and everybody contributed. Everybody was excited about what God was doing in their life, and they all contributed and like precious faith believers joined their faith together, and they left out so on fire they could charge hell swinging on a rotten grapevine with a squirt gun, because they were absolutely fired up with what God was doing. We overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Listen, our testimonies ought to get us so fired up and excited that we can't wait to come back together next Sunday, because we are conquering some things. We're moving some things. We're partnering with heaven on some things. His glory is coming. His glory is here, but we're learning how to walk in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I think that's all I'm going to say about that. I would really charge you. I always like to send, like a doctor, give you a prescription. Here's your prescription to take home. I would really charge you to examine your life and see what lies you've been allowed, like Houdini, to be perpetuated upon you that you're really free from. that you're really free from. And you may have to find God's word, the promise, to stand on it, to really walk out your freedom. You might have to get some partnership in it. You know, one to put 1,000 to flight, two 10,000. There might be some things you're warring against that you need more than you. But I would really charge you to examine what lies are you allowing to perpetuate in your life that are keeping you from the fullness of his glory. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Why? Because his glory is so manifest. How could you be depressed? How could you be miserable? How could you be not happy? This is happy church. I see more glory here. We're walking in it more, but I'm not satisfied yet. I'm not going to be satisfied until I'm seeing total defeat of darkness, total healing of all and every sickness, till I'm seeing the dead raised to life. When the Bible says that's just an elementary thing. Okay. Beans are done. Father, I'm so thankful for your word. It's everything. It's everything. It's life. It's alive. It's living. And God, you've given it to us to show us, to explain to us how to live on planet Earth victoriously. And I thank you, God, you're showing us. You didn't hide these things from us. You hid them for us. And Lord, this discovery, I pray, God, that every person here would hunger so much for the glory, that we would get out our concordances and find every scripture that has to do with your glory, that we would read stories about saints of old that walked in your glory and what happened. And I thank you, God, for total immersion into your glory until your knowledge truly does, the knowledge of your glory would cover the earth. I pray that it starts right here, God. There's such a knowledge base of your glory right here, Father, that it would begin to cover our families, just like the water covers the seas. It would begin to cover our community, just like the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of the glory. I thank you, God, for our state, that Satan is being defeated, and your glory is washing from west coast to east coast. Thank you, God, for the knowledge of the glory, a wash in our midst. In Jesus' name. Let's say this to